We're going to look today, can I get a witness? And I hope you can bear witness with my spirit and your spirit that we are saved. E.D., finished work. So we're going to stand together right now and read 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you'll keep yourselves from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting they've been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, help us today to rejoice in what you've already given us. There's nothing left for us to do to be saved other than place our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, most of us have already done that, and so all that's left now is just rejoicing in you and walking through these few years of this life and then looking forward to eternity with you. Father, bless us today. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Is your calling and election sure? Are you absolutely certain today that when your life is over, I'm 77, almost surely within 30 years for sure, I'm going to be gone. Gone from this life, but not gone. Gone to heaven. And you say, well, how in the world can you know that? Because I've trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ to pay for all my sin. There's nothing on my record. Doesn't mean I haven't sinned, because I do. I believe every day I probably do. We don't even know all the sins there are to do. And so I'm glad that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, virgin born, kept the law perfectly and died in my place. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24 that the blood of Jesus Christ washes away all our sin. Folks, it's such an important thing. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. That verse kind of puts together everything we read in the introduction. We need to make our calling and election sure. How do we do that? Simply by trusting God's word. So many Christians today, people that have received Christ as Savior, are still so worried that they might do something that'll cause them to lose their salvation. Folks, it's a sad situation we see ourselves in because God doesn't want us to live that way. God wants us to live with assurance of our salvation because it gives absolute peace to our souls. I know Jesus said in this life we're going to have trouble. I understand that. But he didn't stop there. He said, take heart, I've overcome the world. And I am in Jesus Christ. And because he overcame the world, guess what? So am I. So much to look forward to. Having assurance of salvation, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, when this life is over, we enter into eternal life in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. All the blessings of God are ours. And having that assurance gives us peace right now. I'm not one bit concerned about where I'm going to spend eternity. It's been sealed. The day that I receive Christ as my Savior, it's a finished work. Assurance of salvation. Knowing that confidence gives us boldness in our faith. It helps us to tell others what we know. I know I'm going to heaven not because I'm a good man. I'm going to heaven because I've got a Savior. And my Savior was a perfect man. And he shed his blood on that cross to pay for all my sins. The Bible tells us when we receive Christ, all of our sins are paid for. Every single one, not just the ones you've already done, not just the ones you've confessed, but all of our sins are gone. The sins I'm going to do tomorrow and the sins I'm going to do next week and next month and next year, they're already paid for. Folks, that's the way we know we have eternal life. But the sad truth is many people that attend church every week do not have that assurance. They have received Christ as their Lord and Savior. They know that they're saved, but because they're taught Arminianism, and some of you may not know who Arminius was, but he was a man that lives 100 or so years after Christ, and he said you can know now that you're saved, but you cannot know that you're eternally saved, because you may commit a sin tomorrow that will take away your salvation. And you say, well, I wonder how many people that go to church every Sunday would follow that kind of a teaching. Well, I'll give you a list of a few of the churches. That's what they believe. They believe you can know you're saved, but they do not believe you can know you're saved eternally. In other words, you could lose it. The Methodist Church teaches that. The Free Methodist Church teaches that. The Nazarene Church teaches that. The Assembly of God teaches that. And you could go down a whole list of other churches that are out there that would teach you that you can know you have eternal life, but you can't know it for eternity. You might slip up. Folks, that's a dangerous teaching. Simply because, guess what? We're all going to slip up. James 2:10 is such an important verse. James 2:10 says, if you and I would keep the whole law, in other words, the day I got saved, I started keeping the list of rules that my church or my group says I ought to do, and I miss it in just one point. I'm guilty of every single thing that I could have done wrong. And so my salvation, I lived for the Lord for 40, 50 years, and I slip up in one point, I'm guilty of all of it. I might as well have enjoyed the sin on the way. And it's a sad situation, but that's what's being taught. The largest Christian denomination in America today is the Catholic Church. And they teach very clearly, you cannot know that you have eternal life. What it teaches is the statement that they have. If anyone says they can gain eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ alone, without keeping the sacramental works, let him be anathema. And the word anathema means cursed of God. What they're saying is if you believe your faith in Jesus Christ alone can guarantee your salvation, you are cursed of God because you have to keep their 5 rules. Other churches, the Church of Christ, has 13 rules. Folks, you know how many rules we have here at this church for your salvation? None. Why? Because the list of rules can't get it done. Only faith in Jesus Christ can gain you eternal life. And you can't lose it. In Isaiah 32, verse 17, it says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. Its effects will be quietness and confidence forever. Do you know there are Christians that have received Christ that go to a church similar to ours, and they really have received Christ as Savior, but again, they don't have peace in their hearts either. Why is that? Because they're not even trying to live a Christian life. They're not trying to live a godly life. When you live a righteous life, the Lord gives you that assurance of your salvation. He won't take it away if you don't live a godly life. He won't take it away. But you won't have the assurance of your salvation. So you can be in a good church, teaching the scriptures, teaching that your salvation is forever in Christ. But if you're not living the best you can for the Lord, you're not going to have the joy of your salvation either. What a sad situation when you can just, you don't have to be perfect. Just when you mess up, and we all mess up, you confess it quickly and get back in and start serving the Lord again. You'll have the assurance of your salvation. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us love, not with just words or speech, but in actions and in truth. This is how we know we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is the command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. When you read that section, many people get confused. Which commands are we talking about? Are we talking about keeping the Ten Commandments or the 613 laws? No. Jesus said two commands for the church. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That fulfills the entire law. We don't have to worry about all the other rules. You simply love the Lord and you love others. The Word of God gives us all the proof that we need to know that once you truly receive Christ the Savior, you have eternal life. In 2 Corinthians 1:21, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put a spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Folks, guaranteed. Your salvation, when you placed your faith in Christ, is guaranteed, not because of what you do, but because of what he did. He sealed it with his Spirit. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 9, verse 13, as we read here, is the verse that led me to faith in Christ. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it's the testimony of God which is given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they've not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That verse, verse 13, turned my life literally around, because I had never heard, and I went to a Baptist church as a boy, I had never heard that you could know right now you have eternal life. But verse 13 makes it very, very clear. You can know now that you have eternal life, not because of what you have done or what you're going to do, but because of what God has done and he's going to continue to do. He's our Savior, we're not. So many churches teach that you can be saved, but not eternally. You have to keep it. You have to keep either the church rules or the Ten Commandments or something. There's always a rule here, a rule there. But it robs your peace. It robs your joy. Because you could literally live for 50 years faithfully, slip up in one point that church says that'll cost you, and you've lost it all. Folks, that's ridiculous. God says we are saved eternally. I'm going to accept what God says beyond what any church says. God said he saved us for all eternity. That's good enough for me. The blessedness of assurance helps us to enjoy all the other blessings that God gives. If you don't know where you're going when this life is over, you can't have fullness of joy. Fullness of joy comes when you know that no matter what happens, God loves you, and all you have to do is ask, and he'll forgive you anything you're doing, and he's going to get you home safe. That's where real joy comes in. Assurance brings our hearts to the highest level of joy. When we sin as Christians, we may lose our fellowship with God, but we'll never lose our salvation with our God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? I'm going along my Christian life. A beautiful woman that's not dressed too well walks by and I think, oh boy, would I like to sleep with her. Folks, all I got to do is confess that as sin. You could say, there's a beautiful woman. There's no sin involved in that. But if you say, boy, would I like to sleep with her, you got something wrong now. But as a Christian, we don't lose our salvation. We confess it as sin, and he not only forgives it, but he cleanses it out of our heart. He makes it so we don't keep thinking that way all the time. He changes us. If we obey his commands, and again, so many people get this confused. The law was never given to the church. It's so important you understand that the law was given to a nation, the nation of Israel. That was proof that they loved the Lord. The Bible talks about three different groups that are on the earth today. There are the Jews, which is the Jewish nation, Israel. There's the Gentiles, which are people who are not Jewish, that are unsaved. And then there's the Church of God. And you're part of the Church of God. You're a total different thing from Israel or the Gentiles. In the church, there are both Jews and Gentiles, but they receive Christ as their Savior. And so it's a different group. So when he talks about obeying his commands in 1 John 2, verse 3, it says, we know that we've come to know him if we keep his commands. Remember, we just read those? Love the Lord and love your neighbor. That's the commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if we obey his word, love of God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So we love our brother. If we love our brothers and sisters, and that means everybody, there are people we don't like what they do, but we still have to love them. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, he talks about that. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Loving this world is a proof that you don't know God. If you love the way things are going in this world as we're departing from God, and that's not just our nation, this is around the world, you're missing the whole boat here. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. He's not talking about the trees and the sunsets. He's talking about this. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. If our life is not marked by sin constantly in our lives, it's an evidence that we're saved. If you know somebody that claims to be saved, but they're constantly living in adultery or premarital sex or drug addiction, or you can go on and on with a list of things. Maybe they're robbing banks every other week. what the Lord wants you to know is you can't live like that. It won't work. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3 again, it says, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. If we confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, we have eternal life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Our Lord wants us to know the whole purpose of the book of 1 John is so that you can have the joy of your salvation. And it's summed up very briefly in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. We write this to make our joy complete. Folks, without the assurance of your salvation, you'll never have fullness of joy. Fullness of joy brings us to the point where we can relax. We don't have to jump through anybody's hoops anymore. We already have received Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We've already confessed we're sinners, and we're on our way to heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance, here it is, that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Whose power shields me? Is it what I do? It's God's power. It's not me. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come, so the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Folks, my salvation has nothing to do with what I do. It has everything to do with what I have believed. The law, the Bible says, is not based on faith. The law is based on works. If Jesus meant you had to keep his commands, if he meant the Old Testament laws, nobody's ever going to be saved. We're saved through faith in what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. That gives us joy and hope. Assurance of salvation lifts us to seek God's holiness. The Catholic Church does teach this. If somebody says they have eternal life and they know it, they're going to get into all kinds of sins because it's only the fear of God's wrath that keeps a person straight. Folks, that's not the truth. The truth is, the only thing that keeps a person straight is God's love. Knowing that he loves you. Knowing that he loved you enough to become a man and die in your place and pay for your sin. That's what helps us live a godly life. Our Lord told us in Matthew 6, verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we really have trusted Christ, our greatest desire is to please our Heavenly Father. When you know somebody loves you with all their heart, you want to please them. And that's what makes a Christian try to live a godly life. Are we going to fail? Yes, we are. But it's okay. We're trying. And that's what the Lord looks at. In 1 John 3, verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Assurance of salvation fills our heart with joy. Once you know you're going to heaven, we know we're going to have trouble on this earth, but I've got so much to look forward to, and so do you. Within 30 years, all my problems are going to be gone. I'm not going to worry about the next election. I'm not going to worry about the next time the stock market falls. I'm not going to worry about anything, because the old order of things is going to pass away, and God's going to make everything new. We're going to be there. In Psalm 71, verse 13, David says, may my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate to them all. David was not trusting in himself for his salvation. Even David in the Old Testament was not trusting in his keeping the law for salvation. He had a Savior. David said, I praise God, my Savior. Even in the Old Testament, they knew they weren't being saved by the law, because by the deeds of the law, the New Testament says, no flesh is ever going to be justified in His sight. It's always been by faith and faith alone. The assured heart has a great and a full heart. In Psalm 103, verse 1, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgives all your sins. How many sins does He forgive? All. That's interesting, isn't it? And heals all your diseases. Now, maybe not right now, but within 30 years, all my diseases are going to be healed forever. So praise the Lord for it. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise comes from an assured heart. The price for my salvation, the price for your salvation has already been paid. You just have to receive it. That's all it takes. Assurance of salvation strengthens our souls against both temptations and the trials of life. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Assurance of salvation compels us to live for God. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, for Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Assurance of salvation calms your soul. When you don't know for sure where you're going to spend eternity, your soul can never find rest. In Hebrews 6:17, it says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Our hope is found in Christ's shed blood and that alone. And because we have that hope, we have peace in our hearts right now. In Philippians 4, verse 6, Do not be anxious about anything. How many Christians do you know that are anxious about everything? Folks, that's sad. We don't have to worry about a thing. God has it all under control. All we have to do is trust. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Verse 8 gave us quite a list of things that we ought to be thinking about every day. Things that are good, things that are right, things that are beautiful. The people, the Christians, that are worried all the time about everything, what do they think about all day? Everything that's wrong, everything that's hurtful, everything that's disappointing. Folks, we've got stinking thinking, and we've got to change that. If you're ever going to rejoice in your salvation, if you're ever going to have peace in your heart, you've got to start dwelling on what's right. We have to deal with what's wrong. But you don't have to think about that all day and all night. Many Christians can't sleep at night. Why? Because they're worried about everything. Is God in charge or not? God's in charge. Relax. When you're gone, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be gone one of these days. Life is going to go on. I can't tell you how many people were worried, machine repairmen that I worked with, I don't know what this company's going to do when I retire. I'm the only man that knows how to fix those 5 machines. I'm the only one. Guess what happened the day they retired? Not a thing. Those machines got fixed just like they always did. We think we're just, nobody can live without us. Folks, it's no problem. It's going to happen. Assurance of salvation teaches us to wait on the Lord and His grace and His mercy. We think we have to do it all. Folks, it's already done. There's nothing you have to do but believe. And God even gives you the faith to do that. You can't work that up. God has to give it or you'll never get it. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says, we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Do you have confidence towards God? Do you know that He's for you? He's not against you. So many Christians think, boy, if I just slip up the least little bit, I'm going to get swatted by God. We didn't treat our children that way. If they really goofed up, they got a spanking. But they had to really earn it. We wanted to love them. We wanted to hug them. We wanted to have fun with them. We had to discipline. And our Heavenly Father is the same way. He will discipline us if we get bound determined we're going to do it our way. But He disciplines us in love, in hope. Not to get even with you. Not to make you suffer. But to make you right. Assurance of our salvation moves us to purity in our hearts. We really love God for what He's done, and we really want to please Him. 1 John 3:3, everyone or all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. And 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. We serve the Lord not because we're afraid of Him anymore. We have a godly fear, which is a reverential awe of God. But I'm not afraid of God. He loves me. He loved me enough to let His Son die in my place. And the Bible says, if He loved us that much, won't He now that we're in Christ give us all things to richly enjoy? He wants you to have a riot in this life, to enjoy it, to enjoy the good times. But he wants you also to be a blessing to others. He wants you to share the faith you have. When we talk about the faith you have, I want to ask you, do you have salvation? Do you know today that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? It really is this simple. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. You can become right now more and more like your Savior. You'll never be exactly like him in this life. But there's going to come a day soon when we pass this life, we are going to be like him. Not as far as being a creator God and having your own world, but our nature is going to be changed. We're going to get a brand new heart that doesn't have a divide. My heart has a divide today. I'm in Christ, and so I have the mind of Christ, but I'm also in my Father, who had a sinful nature, and he gave it to me. And so I've got two natures today. When we get to heaven, we're going to have one nature. It's going to be the nature of God. So how do we get there? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you've never done this, I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Buddhist, you're not going to heaven. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you're confessing him as God in heaven. That's what that word Lord means, Adonai. He's our creator God. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you might be saved. Is that right? That's not right, is it? You will be saved. Folks, there's a difference, isn't there? He says, for it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. What does the word justified mean? It's just as if I had never sinned. Folks, my record is clear before God. My record's going to stay clear before God, not because of what I'm doing, but because his blood has washed away all my sin and yours too, if you have them. With your heart you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Are is a past tense verb. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And again, it doesn't matter if you go to a Catholic church, a Baptist church, or Lutheran church. If you've confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. Your church may tell you you can't know that, but the Bible says you can know that. I've always felt in my heart, regardless of what church I'm attending, I'm going to go with God's word. If my church says something contrary to what God's word says, I'm going with God's word. God said you can not only know now, but you can have 100% assurance that it's going to last forever. You cannot lose the gift of God. It's yours forever. Father, we can't thank you enough. We don't deserve it. In fact, your word says you died for us when we were yet sinners. When we were your enemy, you loved us. And now that we have received you, Lord, you're never going to stop loving us. Father, help us to spread the good news. Help us to be busy about your work. And Lord, we're going to give you the thanks today for the assurance of our salvation. And we'll give it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.